Welcome to our morning worship service. Great to see you here.
Heavenly Father, we praise you for the message of the songs we've just sung. We praise you for being in the family of God, for each believer that has come out today. We rejoice that we can join our hearts in worship and in prayer. We can hear your word proclaimed. We can watch your spirit move and work in each of our hearts. And we pray that all of these things will happen in this hour. We thank you that we can trust you. Father, there are times, we talked about this in Sunday school, there are times when it's hard to know what is happening and why you are permitting things to happen. But we know we can trust you, and this song captured that. We pray that our faith and trust in you will grow in this hour as we focus together on you. We pray, Father, that you will minister to each heart. You know what we need today, what each person who is coming today has on their heart and mind. We pray that you would encourage those who need it, comfort those who need it, and convict those who need it. May we all receive the message you have for us today, and may we respond in the way that you would desire by your Spirit's power, and see you do great and mighty things. We commit this service to you and give you thanks and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning we're going to be reading from Acts chapter 15. Beginning at verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles, by my mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the hearts, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, that is Simon Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles, to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old time has in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren, send greeting unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles, in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, in whom, or to whom, brethren, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from fornication, from which, if you keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare you well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried their space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you so much this morning for your precious word to our hearts. And Lord, it's so wonderful to see how things worked out there. This problem came up. And Lord, you were able to help the disciples, the apostles, to come up with a reasonable answer. The one that says it pleased the Holy Spirit as well as the believers. And so we pray, dear Father, help us to make sure that we keep our minds and hearts centered upon the Word of God, and following in the way that you have us to go. Oh, how we thank you that salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and not through any works that we could ever do. Lord, we thank you that you don't ask us to go through these things. And we pray that you'll help us to walk in fellowship with you and do your will in all things, that we might be pleasing in your sight. We do want to pray this morning, our Father, for the missionaries serving you in various places around the world, spreading the gospel of Christ. We thank you for Bob and Lynn Trapp. We know Bob is now in Colombia, Bogota, Colombia, and is ministering there to these believers, the students, and preachers, and that he is spreading the good news encouraging them and strengthening them. And we pray your blessings upon him. Bring him home safely again, we pray. And bless on all ministries that he has been have in reaching other people. Lord, we just pray for all of our missionaries. Thank you for those that we are able to help support. And we just pray that you will continue to supply their needs and guide them and undertake for them. We pray especially, our Father, for those working with the Jewish people in Israel and here in the United States, seeking to give them the true message of the gospel. And we pray that you might help each one of them, be with chosen people, and all the other missionaries who are serving you in that way. Thank you so much, Lord, for your constant care and love to us. We pray for each one who is here this morning. There may be some who are ill. We ask you to strengthen them. We pray for those who have other problems that they're seeking to solve. We pray, Lord, that you will open up the way. Thank you for every time that we can get together. We do pray for this upcoming fellowship time on Friday night. We pray that that might be a blessing. We pray for the Sunday school picnic and for all the other times when we can get together. And we pray that your holy will be done and that we might be encouraged and encourage one another. May Christ our Savior be glorified in all that we do and say. We do pray for our country, our Father. You know the situation. You know the campaign that's going on now and the upcoming election. And we just put it into your hands and pray, may your holy will be done. We know what our will is, but we pray that your will might be done. May Jesus Christ, our Savior, be glorified. We pray in his precious name. Back in the early part of the book, when the Holy Spirit came upon the Jewish believers, and they came to put their faith and trust in Christ and to form the church. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And this was the beginning, the Jewish people. For some time, the church remained totally Jewish, right? There in the city of Jerusalem, and that's where the apostles were, and that's as far as it would go. But when persecution came, believers were scattered and began to preach in other places, to reach not only the Jewish people, but also the Gentiles. Right? And Paul, especially, was called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. This was his special assignment. So with many Gentiles being saved, this presented new problems. You know, thinking about the Old Testament and what the Jewish people, what they had done, and how that many of these were still living under the law of Moses, right, and all of that. And so what about the Gentiles? Are they supposed to become Jews before they can be Christians? That's what some people seem to think. They had to go through all of this process. They had to be circumcised. And then they had to keep the law of Moses. And that's what we were reading about here. These are people coming along and stirring up trouble. Right? Here they were coming into the church there where the Gentiles were, saying, you know, oh, it's wonderful. You've accepted Jesus as your Savior. That's great. Now, right? Now you've got to be circumcised, and then you've got to keep the law of Moses. Wow. Well, that'd be something, wouldn't it? What do you think? These people who had come out of paganism and didn't know anything at all about the Old Testament, you know, at this time. And now, all of a sudden, they're saying, you've got to follow all this teaching. So, this is the problem. And of course, Paul Barnes came along and said, but they didn't believe that, you see. They had come, God had told Paul, this is what a person has to do to be saved, right? Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, and you will have eternal life. Is that what we believe? Yes. Amen. That's what we believe, right? And this is the message that Paul and Barnabas were preaching. And so when these people came along with this new idea, we find a great conflict took place. And it says in verse 2, I like this. It says, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. You know, oh man, now you can just imagine how they must have felt. Because the pure gospel of Christ was being destroyed, actually. And so they argued with these people and said, no, it's not at all. So what have you got here? We have a conflict. You got the church, some people wondering about this, you know, well, is Paul and Barnabas right? Or are these other people right? You got a question that comes up in the minds and hearts of people, and they're not united anymore. They're not able to go forward in this way. Go along together and like, accept they be agreed. Right? So, and that's the problem here. So Paul and Barnabas argued with them about this, and finally they decided, well, maybe we should go up to Jerusalem, to the headquarters there, where the other Christians are, and see if we can't work this thing out. What are we going to do here, you know, with the problem that we have here? So they agreed to do that. And they went up to Jerusalem, to the apostles and elders, about this question. And they, Paul and Barnabas went, along with some of these, we call it Judaizers, those who think you have to add something to the true gospel of Christ. And so, with all of this confusion going on, they went up to the council at Jerusalem. This is the first council. You know, the church has had a number of councils in the past, but, you know, some of them might have turned out pretty good, others you're not so sure about. Some of the things that they've added on and taken away and all of that. But this, we find that the Holy Spirit was leading in what they did. He said this is the answer that they got came from God Himself. Huh? So that should be all right then. We shouldn't argue at all with what God said. So here on the way to Jerusalem, Paul and Barnabas spread the word to the other churches about the Gentiles coming to Christ, and it brought great joy to them. And it's wonderful to see that. As they went up, you know, they had to travel, I guess by foot, or some way they didn't have, maybe horses, I don't know how they had to travel. But anyway, wherever they went, from one place to another, they would tell the church, hey, did you know what's happened? Isn't it wonderful? The Gentiles have come to Christ, and now they are serving Him, and we are on our way to Jerusalem to get this problem worked out. Pray for us. It doesn't say that here, does it? But don't you think they did? I believe they did. And here we find the great joy. Steve was talking about joy this morning. But this was great joy that the believers had when they heard that people were being saved. Isn't it wonderful when somebody gets saved? And it's always such a joy. I mean, it's been a long time, same thing, since we had anybody saved here. What's going on? Are we praying for people to be saved? Are we working, witnessing, sharing the gospel? That's what they were doing. And they saw many people coming to Christ. And here we find the church is rejoicing. And as they went up to Jerusalem, They had declared all that God had done with them. What a wonderful thing it was. I would have loved to have been back then. In the early church, when all these wonderful things were happening and souls were being saved and the church was growing. You know, some places, I guess it's still happening. Right? I read about it. I don't know. Maybe we're doing something wrong here. What do you think? You know, I don't want to disqualify myself or anything. But, and Dr. Lee Robertson used to always say, you know, pastor of the church or in Chattanooga, everything rises and falls on leadership. Right? So if the leader's not right, then the church might not be right. You need to pray for your pastors, right? That we might do the right thing, and that we might have the right attitudes, and that we might be able to serve and reach out to others, and that you also reach out. I did have a good testimony this morning in Sunday school. Sylvia's been talking with Jane Wagner, and they are witnessing to the young people there in the home, and sharing with them, and seeking to bring them to Christ, and it's a wonderful thing. And you know, that's what we need to do, is to try to get the word out as much as we can. So here we go, and they went up to Jerusalem, and there, you should go take the notes. In verse 5, it says, there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees. Oh, you remember the Pharisees? Jesus had a terrible time with the Pharisees, didn't he? And they were the ones mostly responsible for his being arrested, killed. These people. Now, these, it says, though, it says, the Pharisees which believed. So these were Christians. But they still had that mentality of the law and all of the rest of it that went along with it. And so, that's a problem. People are not thinking the same way. So they got together to consider this matter, he says. And then Peter stands up. You remember Simon Peter? The man that always had something to say, right? And he was always there. And this time he had a real good speech that he's giving here, his testimony. It says, men and brethren, you know how about a while back, God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. We saw that just a few weeks ago, right? Cornelius, Roman centurion, called Peter, he went up there, and he preached to them the gospel, and they were, the whole group, the Holy Spirit came upon them, just like he did upon the Jews. And Peter says, hey, wait a minute, dude. What's going on? He didn't quite understand it. But anyway, he says, God chose me to deliver the gospel to these people, and I did. And God, who knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did to us. He didn't make any mistakes. And that's what Peter told him. You know, God doesn't make distinction between different nationalities, people. Whosoever will may come, right? And so that's what he's saying here. That God opened their hearts, they received the word, and they were saved. So he says, he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. See, there it is again. Every way you look in the Bible, the way to be saved is to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his atoning blood. Right? He died for us on the cross, and if we trust in him, we put our faith and confidence in him for our salvation, we have eternal life. How wonderful is that? It really is. And he said he put no difference between them and us. And then he says in verse 10, Why then are you tempting God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Why do you want to put this burden upon these people? He said, we the Jewish people, down to the centers, we've had a terrible time trying to keep the law of Moses, you know, and trying to do all these things that the Old Testament tells us to do and all this, and we have not been very successful. He said, we haven't been able to do it. Why would you do that? Why would you put that on these other people? But we believe, look verse 11, it's a wonderful verse. I underline this in my Bible. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. He doesn't say they shall be saved, even as we. You understand? No. We shall be saved, even as they. These have Gentile people that don't know anything about the Scriptures. They are saved by the grace of God, and that's the only way we can be saved. So it's all grace. It's all faith. And I'm glad that it is, because I don't know how we would make it otherwise. Maybe you're better off than I. I don't think we would get very far trying to make it on our own. How good, how well, I should say, do we keep the Ten Commandments? How well do we follow God with all of our hearts continually? Not very well, right? But he says, you can be redeemed, you can be born again, you can be saved by the grace of God if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And here Peter is summing it all up for them, giving them this statement. And notice it says, verse 1, then all the multitude kept silence. They didn't say anything. It was just quiet. Like it is in our church a lot of times, you know. Everybody just gets real quiet.
I'm not quiet.
Except Brad. Yeah, he speaks up. But anyway, here we go. It says, they kept silence and they gave audience to Barnabas and Paul. Now, Barnabas and Paul step up to the pulpit and they start telling them what has happened among the Gentiles and how they have seen so many of them changed by the power of God and set free from their sins and given new life in Christ. So here we have, this is Paul and Barnabas tell the whole assembly of what God has done among the Gentiles. And then, after that, James, it says in verse 13, James quiets everybody down and he says, men and brethren, hearken to me. Now James was the leader of the church, you could say, in Jerusalem. He was the one who was, we believe, the half-brother of Jesus, right? It fixes him as being the brother of Jude, and James and Jude were both brothers of Jesus. And now he has become the leader of the church, and he's going to establish the truth as to what's going to happen. He says, Simon Peter has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. You like that? We are the people of God. We are the family of God, right? We belong to him. He has taken us out from the world and placed us into Christ, into salvation. And he visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. God knows what he's doing. And to this degree, then they quote from the Old Testament. Now this is taken from Amos, chapter 9, verses 11 through 12. And it's pretty well quoted here in these verses. He says, after this I will return. This is God, Jesus is going to return. And he will build again the tabernacle of David. After this, which has fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called. Not all the Gentiles, but all of those who have been called to God. And he says, Lord, who doeth all these things? Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. So he refers back to the scriptures. You know? And that's what we always refer to the scriptures, right? And here we find he's looking back into the prophet Amos and explaining there what he's saying. That after all this is over, he's going to come back and he's going to reestablish the people of Israel, the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I'll build it again after this outbreak. So we're going through this right now, right? This is the age of grace, as we call it, the church age. After this, after the church is taken out, and Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to reestablish the relationship he had with Israel. Right? Now, there's a lot involved in that. I can't go into all that right now. But at any rate, we find here that God is not finished with Israel. He's not finished with his people. He is going to continue to work with them, and they will never be destroyed.
Amen.
Don't, you know, try as you might. Iran, Russia, all these other places might try to destroy them. But they're not going to do it. Because God has got a promise he's made to Israel. They will always be there. So anyway, the final solution to the problem he got here is that the Gentiles were not required to become Jews. Nothing was to be added to the grace of God for salvation. He said that very clearly. Now there were a few stipulations he made here so that they might be able to get along with the other people, the Jewish people. He says, okay, abstain from meats offered to idols, because that offended the Jews greatly. Stay away from meats offered to idols, and from blood, don't eat well blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication and sexual immorality. Keep all your these things from you, and then you will do well. Well, that's not a great long list, is it? You know, we have a much longer list. You know, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other, right? Well, they didn't do that. They just said, you know, if you'll do these things and get along with your brethren, even though they might have a different idea on some areas. You know, I was looking at that. I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble with this or not, but anyway, did you notice that in the church there were some of those that believed you had to keep the law? Did you see that? And there were others that said, no, you don't have to. You're free from that. Okay, so they got along together. They settled this issue, and these people continued to be in the church. Oh, what are we doing? Compromising here, huh? Think about that for a while. That's something to think about. And here we find that they continued on as bona fide Christians and serving the Lord, even with differences of opinion on certain issues. Huh? We can agree not to. How's that? Yeah. We can disagree. Now, how was that?
We can agree not to agree.
Okay, there you go. Thank you, Heaven. And so the final solution to the problem is that the Gentiles would not be required to become Jews. They would not have to keep the law. They would not have to be circumcised. But they only had to do these few things in order to maintain peace. You know? And so here we find that that's what they're doing. And they're working this all out. And then we find this last part. Seems like I'm running out of time here. Anyway, then pleased it, verse 22. Then pleased it, the apostles and elders, the whole church, they're all united together. Look at this. To send chosen men of their own company to Antioch and Paul and Barnabas, Judas and Silas, to go along with them to explain all of this to them and to rejoice in their oneness and their fellowship together. They send them back to Antioch. Okay? And they're going to work them all this out so that they might be able to rejoice and not be afraid. Oh my goodness. What if I do something such I might die and go to hell? Oh! Wouldn't that be something? No. Jesus died for your sins. You have trusted in Him as your Savior. You are not going to die and go to hell. God said that, right? We're saved by grace through faith. And now these people are understanding that and they are rejoicing. So we have a church here that's revived, strengthened, blessed, and going forth with the gospel and accomplishing the things that God has for them to do. We've heard, some people have come and troubled you with these words. We did not send them. What is it? We didn't send them. They came on their own and they are wrong. Had to point out that. Paul said, if any man preach any other gospel to you, let him be accursed. He had a little different slam, but anyway, we know that we are to follow the teaching of the Word of God. So anyway, this letter, they have the letter that they wrote, read to them, and they said, you're free from all these things. You have eternal life in Christ. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. The work of God is continuing on here in a mighty way. Judas returned to Jerusalem, and Silas decided to stay there, and he'll be going with Paul on his next missionary journey. So he's getting his feet wet, getting into the work there that Paul has been doing, and they're going to reach out. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for His marvelous grace, able to save us from our sins and give us eternal life in Him. And aren't you glad that this matter was settled and we're not perfect with trying to please God in these ways? You know, keep His Ten Commandments, keeping the law, being baptized, having communion, all those things, all they necessary. Well, we do it because the Bible points it out, something that we should do, but it's not what saves us. You know, it says, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, don't put the cart before the horse. Right? You say it first, and then you work. You don't work to be saved. No. There's no way to do that. That does not please God. So we are accepted in the Beloved, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I like the old hymn. It says, free from the law. Oh, happy condition. Jesus has bled, and there is remission. Cursed by the law, there it is, and bruised by the fall, grace has redeemed us once. Once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O brother, believe it. Cling to the cross. The burdens will fall. Christ has redeemed us once for all. Are you redeemed this morning? Have you trusted in Jesus? If you have, all you've got to do is call upon his name. Say, Lord, save me. I'm a lost sinner. I need to be saved. And he'll do it. I promise he will. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your wonderful word. And pray, I do pray, that you'll use your word to speak to our hearts. If there is anyone here who's never trusted in Jesus, that they might come to know him today as their personal Lord and Savior. And help us as Christians to walk in fellowship with you and do your will in all things. In Jesus' name we pray.
Father, we thank you for this time together. Pray that you would seal to our hearts what you have us all take. Use us as we head out this week to bring honor and glory to your name. Now, by way of benediction from the Epistle of Jude, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forever. Amen.